We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Time to head out to the Dialpad guest line. Dialpad helps you make smarter calls. Connect your team with a business communication platform that powers voice, video, messages, and meetings across your existing devices. Welcome in Adam Kaplan. He's brought to you by California Bank of Commerce, the premier business bank. And Adam, I want to go back to Sunday's game in the Superdome. Was that the game of the year, the 49ers victory over the Saints?
Well, guys, good to be with you. Yeah, it was. And first of all, it was not anything like I expected. I did not expect 48-46.
Wow.
I mean, it was the first half especially. I mean, the aerial fireworks, and it never really stopped. And you could just see, it's rare really, guys, in the regular season that you have the urgency you had from both teams in Week 14. But clearly they both knew that most likely the number one seed was on the line. And they played like it. And that's really why we have a knockdown, drag-out fight. You just don't expect 12 touchdowns. You just don't. You combine from both teams and the big plays. And look, Sanders did push off on the touchdown for the record. He absolutely did. But they didn't call it, so it wasn't a penalty. But he had a great game, obviously, when they needed it. So many big plays in the game. But, you know, the story that most people are not talking about nationally, but they should be, you guys know about it, is this development of Raheem Mostert, the running back that Chip Kelly brought in from Philly. It was probably the last gift, the only gift that Chip gave to the Niners, but he's now taken over. And let's not forget, this kid barely played running back in college at Purdue, but he's been an unbelievable story. And the way that they've rotated the running backs and the offensive line has got itself together. They gave Garoppolo a lot of time. And by the way, this was his best game as a pro. As well as he played in those Arizona Cardinal games, this was his best game.
Adam, the guys always give me grief because I always brag about watching games over, the good ones. And I was at the house and I watched this game over again. And Adam, my biggest takeaway is, what the heck has happened to this Niner defense? And going into the game, I didn't mention it to you, but I said Drew Brees is not the Drew Brees of old. I know the record's there. He's not throwing it downfield like in years past. But all of a sudden now, this defense from the Niners was so stout. Was this just a fluke going up against another good team and quarterback? I guess what I'm saying, now that Sherman's out, Quan Alexander's gone, how concerned are you about this Niner defense?
I would be. I'm not concerned at all about their offense. And they found these linemen that could fill in when needed. So it's really the defense. And, you know, Sherman did not look right with the hamstring. You know, he left the game, came back, but he clearly was not himself. You mentioned the Quan Alexander injury. Those are big. Those are two of their best starters. It's going to be hard to overcome. You know, I would highly doubt that Sherman will be back before the end of the regular season. It's not that he can't. Based on what I'm told, it's a moderate hamstring strain. There's really no reason to risk it because you've got, most likely you're going to have a first-round bye. They're not going to have any problem this week against Atlanta. I don't care how beat up that Niner defense is. So, yeah, and obviously K'Wan Williams has an injury, right. So you're concerned about that. Yeah, I would be. To answer your question, I'm concerned about it. You can't. It's hard to overcome when you lose starters on a defense that has they've had the best increase in productivity of any team in the National Football League. A lot of it is due to personnel.
No doubt, Adam. And also, they've tackled really well, which they didn't do this past Sunday against New Orleans Saints. They'll definitely have to clean that up over the next 3 weeks. But Jimmy Garoppolo, I thought this was Jimmy Garoppolo's best game as a 49er, and we wondered if he could win in a shootout. Could he win coming back? You know, Niners were down 20-7, 27-14. And Jimmy Garoppolo is getting better and better and better. And oh, by the way, he's fourth in the league at touchdown passes with 24. You wouldn't know that around here, Adam, especially after that Monday night game against Seattle.
Yeah, it's funny because I've been asked repeatedly on the station all year, that could he handle a game where he had to throw a lot? And I keep telling you, yes, he proved it in the Cardinal games. It's because the defense had been so good that his pass attempts were in the low 30s. Well, now you look at the way that they've done it now. They're winning. The great thing is with Kittle back, they're winning any way that they want to win, either by with throwing the football short, long, over the middle. and they're running it better. Breida back. He had several nice runs, including the 28-yard run, which is really nice in open space. And Deebo Samuel's really maturing in front of our eyes here. They use him in the run game as well. The only guy who's not getting going at all is Tevin Coleman, or like he did earlier in the season. That's been a little bit of a surprise here.
Adam, you know, Garoppolo's got, 20-plus starts with the 49ers. Is there any – when a quarterback goes to the postseason for the first time, do you consider it kind of a new deal completely, or do you quite frankly expect Garoppolo to be the Garoppolo he was in the regular season?
No, what it is it's the level of competition gets greater. You're like a team against Atlanta, you're not going to face anyone like that. You're not going to face the bottom feeders. Now, the only team that you would feed that might be around 500 would be if they don't get the one or two and they have to play at Philly or Dallas. That would be where you go, okay, well, this is a game you should win. Whereas even if they're hosting, when you play the better teams, you still have to see them do it when it really, really counts. That to me right now, that's the next step. He's already shown me the regular season. Every question that we've talked about on the show, he's answered them. And then some. Every big throw, every big play. He hasn't had, and the other thing we were concerned about, what would the turnover issue be like? And he hasn't had a ton of turnover. So I think he's alleviated that issue. So I think we could put that behind us.
Adam, I got to ask you about something going on in the NFL outside of the Bay Area. And, you know, I didn't give a damn about Spygate. I didn't give a damn about Deflategate because I know Brady and Belichick were two of the best at their profession. But this incident with the Bengals is sticking with me because I'm just not buying the excuse. Where are you at? And does, to you, Adam Kaplan, does this tarnish what the Patriots and Belichick have done? Because there's got to be something going on here.
Well, actually, this is what happened. This is my understanding of it. Really, I've started on this on Monday just to get a bird's eye view of what the league thinks and what other people have talked about here. Basically, there's a documentary going on about Bill Belichick and the Do Your Job series, which they document for the Patriots website, and just about behind the scenes and how things are run with the Patriots. So this videographer is there, but for whatever reason, doesn't tell the Bengals that they're doing it. I don't know why. They just got a regular media pass. But for whatever reason, was shooting video of the bench because the person who was shooting the video was shooting one of their scouts. But why they didn't tell the Bengals this, I don't know, and the league's going to have to answer this. They have not released a statement yet about what they found out. It's very strange. But again, I'm going to believe for now the excuse and what the Patriots have said. And they're pretty emphatic about it. That's what happened. Belichick has repeatedly said, I had nothing to do with it. He's like, it's not like this would come through his desk. Hey, Bill, just so you know, they're going to be shooting your scout there. He doesn't get into the video part of it. If it has something to do with the scout doing his job or not doing his job, that's completely different. But it has nothing to do with it. They're just shooting a video of people doing their job. But again, all they had to do is tell the Bengals about this, and we wouldn't be talking about it.
Speaking of Belichick, Adam, that documentary yesterday, Nick Saban, Belichick, man, pretty damn good on HBO. If you haven't checked that one out yet, I'm sure you know both of those guys.
I've taped
well,
it, yeah. Yeah, I've
pretty,
taped it.
Pretty good, so yeah. I won't spoil it for you. I want to talk about the Raiders real quick, their last game in Oakland, California, coming up Sunday against the Jaguars. And I just look at Derek Carr. I wonder if he's going to make it to Vegas with that team. You see his body language. He's obviously frustrated. He doesn't have really any playmakers out there outside of Josh Jacobs and Darren Waller. But what do you think about that situation with John Gruden and Derek Carr? You see a scenario in which Derek Carr may not make it to Vegas with the Raiders?
It's interesting. So from talking to the Raiders, you know, last year they told me that he was good, not great. And they figured in year two he'd be better. And for, I would say, up to about 3 or 4 weeks ago, there was no doubt that he'd be their starter of the future. But I think you just touched on it. They have one outside receiver that they use, Tyrell Williams, and his numbers are going way down because it's been very easy to cover him. You mentioned Josh Jacobs, who's their bell cow running back. The way that the offense is structured, it's basically through two tight ends. Their second tight end, Foster Moreau, I'm told, suffered a serious knee injury. He was their fourth-round pick out of LSU, so they lost him. They just don't have enough passing targets. That's on Gruden and Mike Mayock, folks. It's less about Derek Carr. I would say better, to answer your question, better chance that he goes to Vegas with them than not. But, man, they have to help him. And I know that they're not happy with the production of the passing game lately. And Gruden, if you heard his press conference this week, he blamed everything on injury. Well, you know what? Then Gruden, who has personnel control, he's got to take that into consideration when he decides what he wants to do, if anything, with Derek Carr.
Hey, Adam, we're going to talk about this in a minute on the show, so you may as well give us your thoughts of Le'Veon Bell bowling on a Saturday night till 1 o'clock and then not playing the next day for the Jets.
Well, he was not cleared anyway because of the flu. He couldn't be around the team. But the point is this. First of all, you should be at home when you have the flu. You can't really be around anyone. Even if it's family members or other people, you're going bowling. You're still be good. You're going to be touching a bowling ball. Like, what are you doing? It's just, this guy is not 21, 22 years old. This is a veteran running back. The optics are terrible. Adam Gase, the head coach, talked about it. He addressed it. He wasn't happy that he did it, but he wasn't. It just was not a point of contention for him. He's got greater things to worry about.
Right.
A la the Baltimore Ravens tomorrow night, where they ought to get smoked. By the way, this could be an ugly game for them. Where they and by the way, they've been playing better lately. They're playing more competitive football in Gase's second year. So we're going to take a look here, just kind of going forward, of when we look at the Jets and Sam Darnold, of what they can be in the future. And don't forget, they have a new general manager. It would be Gase's second year next year and Joe Douglas's for a full year next season. Joe Douglas, although he is tight with Gase, they worked in Chicago together, they have a massive overhaul to make. Based on what I've heard, that Joe Douglas is probably going to blow this roster up. Their offensive line is one of the worst in the National Football League. They have a lack of pass rushers. It's just a bad roster. By the way, very similar to what the 49ers and Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch took over 3 years ago.
Adam, it's funny. You mentioned tomorrow night's game between the Ravens and Jets, and I'm just wondering, we heard all the rhetoric with Lamar Jackson. Can he keep it up? Will he get hurt? One of these tackles are going to do him in. He runs too much. All of a sudden, I see an issue with the quad. If you're the Ravens, do you dare think about keeping him out of tomorrow night's game?
Well, he's taken a majority of the first-team reps, which would indicate that he's going to start. It really depends on what type of – if it's a quad strain, it's a good question. Like, you really don't want to exacerbate this situation on a short week. They have to be very careful. This is a game, again, they really shouldn't struggle. But I think they have to be careful here. When you look at the Ravens situation – it all starts with that quarterback based on the run game structure, and he's a bigger part of it, actually, in a way, than Mark Ingram is. So I'll be very interested to see what they do with him tomorrow night. They've not said or indicated that he won't be starting, but they have to be very careful. This is actually an injury. You know, not enough people are talking about this. This is his first injury. I track these things that I could see that he's had this season.
Yeah. Wow.
And you don't want to have a setback.
No doubt about it. Real quick, Adam, the Rams are getting hot here, two in a row. They got healthy against Arizona. They beat the Seahawks on Sunday Night Football to help out the 49ers here. I'm starting to worry about the Rams here moving forward, especially with the Niners' injuries here with Richard Sherman. And I know we talked about it earlier in this interview, Adam, but with Quan Alexander, that injury starting to catch up with this football team. Richard Sherman, of course, not sure what's going on with Jaquaski Tartan, his broken rib.
I doubt he plays this week.
Yeah.
From what I've heard, I doubt he plays.
Yeah, well, any of these guys, I know you said you probably don't need them going into that Seattle game, but I'm a little concerned here that the Niners could drop two of their last three, especially that Saturday night against a desperate Rams team who looks like they're going to go down to Dallas and handle business and then possibly be in a hunt playing the Niners a couple Saturdays from now.
Yeah, look, no doubt. Now, when you look at the game with the Rams this week, the issue that I have with the Rams is they have three offensive line changes that they've had recently. Havenstein, their right tackle, had knee surgery several weeks ago, and he hasn't been ready yet. That's a concern for me, but you're right. They're getting Jared Goff going here. Their passing game's going. Jalen Ramsey's playing very well. They did a good job against Russell Wilson, by the way. Really good job. They shut him down. So, yes. Now, the Rams, though, they're still – right now, they're realistically fighting for a wild card spot, and I think that's kind of where we're headed here. Look, they've got a three-game lead on the Rams here, so I don't think you have anything to worry about. But the fact of the matter is that I am concerned, as we started this and we're going to end this kind of the same way, I am concerned. It's a great way to set this up. I am concerned about these defensive injuries because depth, when you go to it, it can only take you so far. It's not as the same as starters. So many teams in the National Football League have learned about that.
Adam, thanks as always. Really,
great.
Hey, were you at the Philly game on Monday?
Yeah, unfortunately, I was. It was so dreadful. It was
that was a gutsy win.
I'll give the Eagles credit. Their season was kind of on the line here, and I give Carson Wentz credit. It was one of the worst performances I've seen of any team this season. The first half, it was so bad. It looked like they quit. And obviously they had urgency, and apparently talking to a couple players, they had a great halftime talk. And these things generally don't mean anything, but it certainly did in this case. And I give Philly credit. And like I said, if by a miracle the Niners don't have a first or second seed, they could be coming to Philly or Dallas. We'll see what happens.
Thanks, Adam. Appreciate it, as always.
Thank you, guys.
All right, Adam Kaplan, 95.7 The Game's NFL Insider.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.